400 more to go. So I'm reading on it at night, and he wasn't a theologian or systematician, but he sure didn't know the Word of God. So it's exciting to be there to read him, brother. Men's meeting, is Earl here? Tell us about that. Sunnies, yeah. I will. I'll come. Amen. Huh? Just get a big old pan. We'll take it home with us. I'll bring mac and cheese. Well, my wife will make it, and I'll put it in the oven and turn it on. Let's put it that way. So it will be good. So I'll bring the mac and cheese. Also, we got the North Koreans coming on the 19th, Saturday the 19th, and the 20th. So we have basically 2 weeks. Do we have the time schedule for that yet? Because I don't have that in my planner. I'm looking at over here. Okay, well, what time does it, what is it? Oh, dinner, where is it? Here? Okay. 5:30. Mac and cheese. That's all I know how to do. Chicken. Hallelujah. I can cook chicken. I've got 5 years of experience in cooking chicken. I think just bring what you have, and if it's not enough, pray over it and see if the Lord will multiply it. All right. Let's just do our best to make sure that they're taken care of first. Obviously, let our visitors go through first and get the food. And one time I had a leadership dinner at my house, and it was a really fancy one, steak and potatoes, all that kind of thing. And I miscounted the number that was coming by one. So I had to give up my steak, and I was running around, you know, acting busy and all that kind of stuff. So I didn't want them to feel bad. So anyhow, let them go through first and get fed good. Anything left, and you guys can go through and eat as well. What time does the Saturday service start? Because I'm getting a lot of hits, people asking me from other churches and in the community. They want to come, and because they've never witnessed a persecuted believer before. Yes, I think it's supposed to be in there. Yeah, so. What time does it start on Saturday? So we'll try to break the tables down and redo it at 6:45. It'll be a family thing, so just act like it's a big old family reunion, because they are our brothers and sisters, and I'm sure they're used to Yeah. Okay, I'll put it on Facebook. I already put it on there. I just hadn't put the time, the times on it. And then, of course, Sunday, they'll be here Sunday morning, or are they going to Christ Central? I can't remember. They're going to be here? Okay, all right, Christ Central, 16th, Wednesday. And then here is just regular service time. Okay, good. And listen, we're going to put out all the chairs that we have. We may go pop out a few extra. But invite as many as you can to come and to hear these precious saints and what they've been through to love Jesus. And it is radically different than what we experience here in America. But we need to hear their testimony and what God's doing. And we need to hear their plans, their vision. As far as I know, every one of them wants to go back into North Korea. And some of them, it's certain death if they do that. It's no longer TV. It's real stuff that's happening. Getting the underground church taken care of. Listen, we get to be a part of that. We get to give to that. We can give funds to that. We can go and serve. You can go in North Korea if you want to, but you need to sign a release before you do that. How many? 7. 7 more churches. Oh, wow. It'll be in the house, obviously, in homes and stuff like that. Maybe even meeting in the woods and stuff. So, it just really, you know, when you hear their stories, you'll walk away going, "I'll never complain again for the rest of my life." And so it's just one of those things. Speaking of planting churches, we're helping with a church plant over in Jacksonville. And we have his name is Zach Cumbus. I know Zach for many, many years. He's a good man. He's supposed to have been here this past year, but schedules got all mixed up. So I'm trying to get him back over here. He's got about 20-something now. He has just secured on the beach area. And don't ask me about it because I don't know the way things are. It's just in the beach area. He's secured Girls and Boys Club. To meet in their facility. He just got that secured yesterday. And so that's going forward. And the launch date is at the end of the year, the first of the year. That's the launch date that's going on. And we don't give a lot, but we give, you know, a couple hundred every quarter or whatever. And it has helped them to buy things that they need. So we're helping plant churches all over the place, obviously in Cuba and places like that. So I'm just thrilled to be a part of it, you know. It's kind of like, hey, you know. And this is from Eric and Shauna, who is coming from Alabama. He sent me this note. I thought I'd read it to you. He said, "Y'all, we've got the whole house." Y'all, that's you. He's talking. "We've got the whole house painted with just one room left. It's almost done. So next week, hopefully, we'll get the carpet laid, or I'll get the carpet laid. And now the cleaning, Shanna Parrish and his little girl Mary, have been working very hard. I've got all the outside washed. Shanna should be taking pictures and posting soon. We are speaking in faith that our house is sold. And this time tomorrow, as the word of God goes, says the word of God." He's believing, in other words. "Brother Terry Shiver, we're so very excited. That God is absolutely good to you and to us. What you need, and we are ready. Whatever your greatest need is, we are ready to serve. If it's cleaning toilets, painting, cutting the grass, whatever it is, Shauna and I are missionaries, and we are ready to go, and we can't wait to meet everyone and start serving together in the kingdom of God." How good is that? Amen. How good is that? And I told you, I think I told you, you know, that we were conversing back and forth. I've known him for 10 years, and he keeps up with us, and he loves the testimonies and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, he was making a comment about wanting to come. And I just replied, you know, "Well, come on." You know, I was joking. And I just said, "Well, come on." And so 2 days later, he said, "We're packing up and we're coming. You know, we're putting the house on the..." And it's kind of like, I didn't have the heart to tell him. I was just joking. And, you know, it seems like that it really touched their heart and their lives. So we're supposed to meet here, hopefully, sometimes by the end of the month. And we'll talk about, we've got several ministries that we're looking at for them. And Brother Mike back there, Mike, wave to everybody. Mike's taking on the IT department now. He did good today. Didn't even mess up. I didn't see any mess up. So we're excited for Mike taking on the IT. We do have several other needs, so if you'd like to be a part of that, please feel free. I'm talking to a young man by the name of Shane. I've known him for years. He's from Central Georgia, and I'm just asking him to pray about coming and taking our youth and our young adults. I don't know what he's going to say, but I'm going to say, if you need to feel led, I have some led that you can feel. So anyhow, he's a great guy. He loves the Lord. He's very mission-oriented, so he'd fit right in with us. And he has a heart for young people. Him and his wife, they're in their 20s, I guess. So y'all be praying. His name is Shane. I think his name is Shane. His last name is Allen, I believe. And I've known him for years. So Shane. If you can remember, you know, pray about that as well. So I'm excited about some of the things that the Lord is bringing our way. Is there anything else I need to talk about for my wife? Is my oh. It's good. I'm telling you. You know, my son Dustin is in Orlando now. He went down there, and he's been doing what they call contract work. So these companies, several of them, would call and say, hey, we have yuckity, that we need you to, I don't know all the words and stuff, that we need you to test in this particular company and see if you can break through their firewall, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so it's been enough for him to live. And so he decided, just based upon the part-time to move down to Orlando. And the reason being, I mean, this is really spiritual. Are you ready? Because they have two really world top-notch climbing gyms. So, and that's why he picked Orlando. There's no mountains in, you know, South Georgia and North Florida. So he went down there. And that thing called, what is it called, LinkedIn? You put your resume. Well, you know, he got all kind of hits off that. And this company called, are you ready for this? Bug Crowd. It's an internet security company, pretty much like he was already doing, with a couple of little twists. And they contacted him and you know, did a couple of interviews, this, that, and the other, and then he kind of went by the way of the wind. Well, this week they contacted him and offered him a full-time position. Come on, somebody. That's not the best part. It's $30,000 more than what he was making in California. Shaka! And another $10,000 more from the cost of living from Silicon Valley to Orlando. And I went back, and you know, I'm a math guy, so I went back and I looked at the accident, I counted the days. It was 500 days from his day of his accident to the day of the offer that came in. 500 days, and God has done it. Come on, men, I'll do the same thing with you. Thank you, Kyle, thank you. 500 days that we've seen of Romans 8:28. So I want to encourage you, you know, sometimes Romans 8:28 is in 24 hours, and sometimes the Romans 8:28 is in 500 days. But now, and it's all kind, all the perks, all, I mean, it's kind of like, dear God, he's making almost, well, he is, he's making twice as more than I'm making, you know, it's one of those type of, I'm so proud of what he, you know, he's getting into a good church down there, and it's just, you know, you just want to stand up and slap the devil, yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah. Ooh, Jesus. Yeah, the wind's right. I get the text in prayer meeting, you know. Yeah. Yeah, and for personal, private reasons, you know, I won't tell you who he's making, but he's making a lot of money. I mean, just like, remember me, okay? You remember? You remember? You know, that's a good idea. I need to do that. I really do. I need to do that. You know, it's just, you're looking at a man with all the stuff that's going on in life. I am footloose and fancy free, man. I'm telling you, I'm just like, come on, Jesus, you know, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, wow. Ness has an announcement. Come on, girl. Hey, could you get me a water? Oh, you got to have the microphone. Okay. I don't know if that on. Mike, do you know how to turn that one on? Oh, you do? Okay.
It was so exciting yesterday because the ladies had their first meeting in a while. And anyway, one of the things that we brought out is that between now and the ladies' conference, all right, and we got so much going on with the men's and the Korean conference, we're asking for you to pick a day, and this is mainly from, you know, us ladies, but pick a day to pray and fast until the ladies' conference, you know, and then, you know, who knows what God has next, and we're going to look for that next. Is that okay, Pastor Terry?
You can look for it. Amen. And you can be the next. Just embody it. Glory to God. Yeah, pray, and if you'd like to pray and fast, then, you know, obviously you choose what you want to fast. We're not here to tell you what to do in that regard. So Isaiah 58 is the fasting scripture. If you want to know how to fast, it'll tell you. I'm sorry, when is the ladies' meeting? Hey, when the conference, you mean? Hey, when is the conference, Annette? I got to write that down. Oh. I like that. I had a prayer strike yesterday. I had one of my younger guys, a young man that I'm mentoring. I hadn't seen him in a while. He called me up, and I said, well, come on. You know, the Holy Ghost and food goes a long way. I said, let's go eat, you know. And so I met his a friend who happened to be a girl. I don't want to say it's a girlfriend. I've never been to CC's. Have you ever eaten at CC's? I've never been to CC's. Been here, 10 years, 20 years? Never been to CC's. And I'm going back to CC's. I had two divine encounters in CC's. And I didn't even understand. I walked by one lady, and I was wearing these shoes, and she said, oh, I like those shoes. See, when that happens to me, I automatically know I'm going to share the gospel with that person. I just automatically know it. And so we had a good encounter with her. She was born again, and shared some things about her family. I got to pray with her. And you never know what the Lord will do in those things. I mean, this stuff will come back around 4 months later, and they'll, hey, do you remember? You know, that kind of stuff. So all we have to do is just be happy, footloose and fancy free, and obedient, you know. And it's not an obedient thing for me. I just love talking about and bragging on Jesus. Don't you like doing that? I do, so. Yeah, especially if you're a diabetic. And then who's the speaker? I forgot. Justin Peters is going to be doing the speaking, so that's good. So, I've got a guy coming in, I think, for the men's thing coming up. So, if not, it'd be old me. So, have to put up with me again. Ephesians chapter 6. We want to continue on in this whole idea of the armor of God. I told you throughout all of this, when you're born again, you're born into a war. Whether you like it or not, you're born into a war. The enemy at that point marks you. He's mad because you were his, and the grace of God, you responded to the wooing of the Holy Spirit, and you accepted his love and mercy and grace, and at that point, he marks you because he wants to try to snatch you back and do it in such a way where he can either steal from you, destroy you, or even try to kill you. And that's his job description. But the Lord is capable, and he wants us to partner with him. I cannot get away from that. My theology is one where we cooperate with the grace and mercy of God. And the power that he gives us through the Holy Spirit. Many of you know he's a perfect gentleman. He will not make you do anything. But he will woo you and show you his goodness and mercy. And verse 10, but before we start, can we pray? All right. So, Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing. And I ask you for help today as I endeavor to bring forth your word. Amen. Finally, brothers, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, and we covered this last week, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, today, God willing, and maybe next week, I want to talk about the breastplate of righteousness. And I want to talk about it. I want to get a little doctrine in here. Hopefully I'll do it in such a way that it's not boring to you. But the word, and it's a biblical word, it's called imputed righteousness. And then the other one is what I just call practical righteousness. How it works out in my life and in your life. But before we get there, I just want to talk about story. I want to talk about a story. Everybody loves a hero. You go to the movies, and if you're like me, and it doesn't take long, and you begin to see who the underdog is, and there's something in you that's rising up that you want that underdog to, you know, get the girl, you know, or make that touchdown, or overcome these adversities. Nancy and I, we don't watch a lot of TV, but we do have that little thing. What is it called? And we watch this thing called The Shooter. And this guy, it's a 10 episode, and the guy got framed for shooting the department head. You know, from the very beginning, it was kind of like, oh, he's got to make it. They're lying up. They're trying to frame him, you know. And in the end, of course, he was totally exonerated, and the way he did it, you know. And several times in that thing, you kind of like, yeah, you know, you stare, and you almost begin to live vicariously through them. I mean, how many, come on, get real with me. How many of you have seen something like Braveheart? Y'all remember that scene? If we had the thing, I'd hook it up today and I'd play about that minute and a half clip, you know, where they're facing that great, vast army, vastly superior in every way, and Mel Gibson's riding back and down, will you fight? And one guy said, no, we will run, you know. And it's kind of like, I thought to myself, that's the church, you know. But anyhow, we won't go there. Will you fight? No, we will run and live another day. And Mel Gibson's right, and he said, yes, you can run. And yes, you may live for another day. But will you be free? They may take our lands. They may take our lives. They may take our children. But they cannot take our freedom! You know, and by that time, I'm standing up, you know, going, yeah! I wanted to go paint my face and go grab a sword and go hacking at the furniture, you know. You do the same thing. You do the same thing. If you've got friends over, you're nice and sweet. But if it's just you and your family, you... Yeah! Everybody loves a hero. Everybody loves a hero. But will we take that kind of stand when life hits us? When the enemy's throwing all kind of stuff at us, will we take that kind of stand? And this is why the breastplate of righteousness, Dusty took it. Dusty, he does this thing with, you know, I forget what it's called. But anyhow, they actually go out and kind of role play these various knights and shining armors and stuff. And he actually has a breastplate. And he took it with him. I was going to bring it today. And the reason why the breastplate of righteousness is so important, because it covers everything that's vital, particularly your heart. And that's I just want to sit here and kind of digress on this just for a moment. And the first thing I want to say to you is this. A warrior, a believer, who has lost their will to engage is not a warrior at all. If you have lost your capacity to see your place in God's kingdom, then you won't fight. You'll leave it for somebody else to do. You'll come up with all reasons why you shouldn't do it, even though you have this breastplate of righteousness. If you don't believe the convictions that you are fighting for, and if you do not endure the attack and win, if you don't believe that you can endure the attack and win, then I'd like to suggest to you that your fight is already over. Now, I'm going to fly my colors here, and you know, you can tell me how bad I am after the service today if you want to. But you know, I raised my boys, you never start a fight. But if you get in it, I almost cussed. I'm getting sanctified. Hallelujah. You better finish it. You know, I don't believe this. You know, we're going to all circle our hands and say the mantra, no bullying, no bullying. You know how you deal with a bully? You give him a haymaker. That's how you deal with a bully. Now, he may whip you, but I guarantee you he'll not come back and mess with you because you bloodied his nose. Now, that's my theology, and it comes from this. You don't back down from life's difficulties. Now, our fight is not with people. It's with principalities and powers and thank wickedness and heavenly realms. People are our friends, even if they hate us. They're our friends. We get to love them into, hopefully into the kingdom of God. Now, part of the spiritual warfare with people is getting them to a place where you can deal with those strongholds and help them get set free. Do we believe that our blessed plate of righteousness can take a hit from the enemy and at the same time allow you to press into the fray and take the day? Because, listen, it's his righteousness, not yours. It becomes yours because he gives it to you. But it's his righteousness, and I'll explain that just in a minute. The breastplate, it's basically, if you can compare the breastplate of righteousness to today's time, it's like that Kevlar vest that our Army personnel And our, I train dogs every Thursday night. Well, almost every. I didn't just because it was raining. I don't do it. But I get out there. I love these dogs, and they're my friends because I don't want to be their enemy. I've seen these dogs jump over cars to get the bad guys. I've seen them jump into a car and tear that guy right there. And it, revival breaks out. Help me, Dave. These guys... Then the police officers, they always come, the ones that are on duty, they come out there on duty, and they literally have, did you know that stuff that they wear is like 30 or 40 pounds? You know, and no wonder they always look big. They're always having to lug that stuff around, and they always have you can make out that vest, and it just covers all the vital organs. One of them taught me about... you're just sitting around. They get talking about stuff, And he said, I got shot the other day. And I think the other day, and you look pretty good to me. You know, he said, oh, no, I took it in the vest. I said, well, what did you do? He said, I put one in his head. He's dead. And I said, well, okay, you don't have to unpack that for me. I'll leave that alone. His vest saved him. Our standing before God is because of the righteousness that covers us. And our standing in the fray, fray is a fancy word for the fight, okay? I learned that in college. Our standing in the fray, we stand in righteousness. Without our righteousness in Christ, we are open to any attack that the enemy seeks to inflict. Now, here's the deal. It's yours. If you prayed the prayer, asked Jesus to be your Savior and Lord, it's yours. The problem is that a lot of believers are ignorant of it. They're just ignorant of it. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 11. I want to read that real quickly. I'm going to try to be a little bit more self-controlled today, so y'all can tell my wife I did good. She's working this week up in Valdosta, so she says hello. Trying to make the bacon. 11:4 says this, riches do not profit in a day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath. In other words, you can be the richest man on the face of the earth, but if you don't have the righteousness of God, it ain't going to help you. You ever see those movies where the guy's a wimp, but he's a rascal, and he has all kind of money, and finally he gets cornered like a rat, and he says, I can give you $423 million. If you let me go. I mean, he just goes back to his money. It doesn't profit him. But righteousness delivers from death. Why? Because it can take the hit and you can keep on engaging in God's kingdom. You can take the hit. Here is how you know you are walking with this whole concept of the breastplate of righteousness. When you see your enemy, or when you recognize that circumstances as spiritual warfare, your heart is filled with the zeal of God for His purposes to be established. That's how you know that you have an understanding of being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because when you see that difficult circumstance that the enemy may be trying to bring on you, or it might be just life. Life is bringing it on you. Or our stupid decisions. Yeah, it still works. I want to read a couple of scriptures to you. Listen to this in Romans chapter 10. It concerns the concept of the zeal of God, if I wrote it down right. And if not, I'll make up something. Thank you, Earl, for that. Chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved, for I bear them witness that they have the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. You see, when you understand the concept of being made right before God, you experience. You remember last week I said, it's not the truth that sets you free. It's knowing the truth that sets you free. It's the experience of that encounter with God. You know why? You know, I don't know about you. When I get stuff starts coming my way and all kind of crazy stuff, I just get real simple. I just kind of put it in park and I just go, I got saved. I was 18 years old, headed down the wrong road, and God saved me. And then I got robbed, and they tried to kill me, and they called me every name in the world, and then God showed up and delivered me. And I just keep going over and over and over about how God and His goodness has given me His righteousness and what it is doing on my behalf. and how I'm becoming the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's not a theory, it's real. And then after about 5 minutes of that, I stand up and I say, take your best shot. I'm ready. Come on. And then after it's over, I look at him and go, is that it? Is that all you got? Really? Come on, devil. Is that your best shot? Listen, I'm not making this up. I'm telling you the truth. Go with me to Romans chapter 3. Let's look at this real quick. This is where I was talking about earlier. I'm going to read several verses starting in verse 21. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed. And in fact, if you've studied Romans, this particular passage right here is where it turns. Paul, those first couple of chapters pretty much was all introduction. And right here, he turns the argument. And he says, apart from God, being the witness by the law, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. And that's important. It's to all, and guess what? On all. All right? For there is no difference. And then he says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And here it is. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God passed over the sins that were previously committed. In other words, all the stuff that was happening in the Old Testament, all the way up to the cross, all right? He said to demonstrate at this present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in the Lord Jesus. So let me give you just a little bit of doctrine here. And hopefully it'll be life-giving, but I want you to understand that justification is all because of what Christ did on the cross and because of him rising from the dead. All right? And in that moment, he is able to, what Colossians talks about, that we were when we received him by faith, we are transferred out of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear Son. In other words, we are transferred into light. And because of that, we are given his righteousness. One version says that he credits it to your account. Now, you know, there's a lot of ways that you can go with this. I don't view that forensically. In other words, I don't see God coming up to Jerry, and Jerry is, you know, a sinner, stinking, rotten, worm sinner, and he kind of like puts this little a pair of glasses between him and Jerry, and the glasses has the blood of Jesus on it, and he says, I declare you righteous, even though Jerry never has changed. I don't believe that. I believe that when God says something, he means it. And when he credits to your account, this past week, guess what I did? You know, well, 2 weeks ago. Nancy, she gets paid every 2 weeks. And so every Friday on those 2 weeks, I get up, get on the computer, and I look at that thing and go, you go, girl. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it was credited to our account. You know what that means? It was ours. Now, I don't mean to say that we work for salvation, because in the extent when Jesus credits his righteousness to us, I didn't do anything except respond in faith to his offer. But when the credit, when he puts it into our account, guess what happened? He's not an Indian giver. He says, well, now, if you're a good boy, I'll let you keep it. It's there. It is yours. Do you remember the prodigal sons? The prodigal son that went away and wasted all his living, and the older son that, you know, got mad after the guy came back. And he said, you know, I've slain all these years. And the father looks at him and says, all that I have, it's been yours. In other words, buddy, it's in the account. And he didn't know it. You see, the enemy doesn't want you to know that. doesn't want you to know that all of his righteousness has been given to you. He's not going to give you, he's not going to put you on a little trial and error and say, now you do good, and you get a couple of weeks into this, I'll give you more righteousness. He doesn't do that. It's total. Boom! Why is it, listen, why is it when you read Paul's prayers that he's always saying that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened? What do you think he prays that way? And by the way, since it's in the Bible, I'm pretty sure God wants to answer that prayer. He's saying, I want the eyes of your heart to be enlightened. Why? And let me rephrase it. He's saying this. Guys, check your bank account. Look at your bank account. See what you have. He took all our sins. Past, present, and future, and gave us all his righteousness. Is that, you know, that makes me happy. I don't know about you, but it makes me. Well, Brother Perry, why are you telling this? Because some of you need to hear it. Do you remember that you're the righteousness of God in Christ when life happens to you? When Dusty got hurt, let me tell you something. I was remembering, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I don't understand all of this, but I was hopping mad. And I was a ball of emotions. But you know what held all those emotions together? Is I was mad. How dare you? Ephesians 1, verse 3. He has given us, can y'all quote that verse? Can you quote the rest of it? He has given us what? Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Somebody got it? Ephesians 1, is it verse 3 or verse 2? Somebody want to read it? Well, y'all want me to read it? I'll read it. Wait, hang on just a second. Let's read it from the book. All right, here it is. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And then he goes, if you read the rest of it, he lists what it is. You're chosen, you're redeemed, you're sealed. He tells you. It's in the book. You know what our problem is oftentimes as charismatics is that we judge the Word of God based upon what my life is like instead of allowing the Word of God to impact my life and form it into his goodness and glory and love. I mean, can you imagine just, you know, a church of 20 or 30 where they had this revelation, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'll tell you something that would happen even when bad things happen, and I'm not trying to say you fake it till you make it. But something deep inside of you goes, I'm chosen. I'm chosen. I'm redeemed. I am loved of my Father. I am righteous before Him. You want to start a religious fight in a church? You get up and start preaching that I'm righteous before Him. I'm righteous before Him. I'm righteous before Him. People pretty quick will start throwing tomatoes at you. I don't know what number I'm on. He was the substitute. He substituted his life for your sins. All right, listen. Real quickly. We're there. Let's go to Colossians. All right, turn over a couple of pages. And chapter 1, and we'll begin with verse 9. He said, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Did you get that? Who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son, whom He loves, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. And this is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, that in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things they may have preeminence. That means first place. Now, do you understand why I don't get you believe in this? Everybody that is in this, everybody that played soccer gets a trophy. It's He gives preeminence. He rewards those that are winners. Number one, I want you to notice something in this verse. It qualifies you to share into the inheritance. You're qualified to go to the bank, walk up to the teller, lay down the account number and say, how much have I got? You know what happens? When you do that in the heavenly bank, you walk up and they recognize you. And you don't even have to ask. They just look at you and say, what you brought today? Because you see, they recognize sons and daughters of God. Look at, you're transferred from darkness to light. Guys, listen, meditate on that. I used to be in darkness. Now, we could brag about your darkness, you know. People that, in denominational churches, they'll talk for 45 minutes about how ugly and sinful they were, and a minute and a half on I got saved. You know, I'm the other way around. You know, I was a rascal, but let me tell you what God did. I did that yesterday at CC's. The girl that was with the young guy, she starts crying. She starts crying. And she was like, and about every other sentence I was going, ain't God good? Ain't God good? Ain't God good? It reconciles you. You're brought back into relationship with God. We sang it this morning. You know, He's our Father. Daddy. And then He says this, that you become holy and blameless and what? Above reproach. Is it any wonder that the enemy of our soul is constantly accusing you before the Father? He's the accuser of the brethren, because the scripture says there in Colossians, if you'll keep on reading, it says that we, in verse 22, and in His body of His flesh through death, to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in His sight. So what He wants to do is to beat you down with the world, the flesh, or the devil, or words of other people, whether they be enemies, friends, family, or whatever. He wants to beat you down so you do not believe that you're above reproach. Now, if you happen to mess up and sin, when you repent, guess what happened? Bam! You're right back above reproach. You don't have to do penance like the Catholics believe. You know, you don't have to. I was teasing. Who was it? It was her. You know, she was talking about being late. I said, "Well, do 50 Hail Marys." You know, and then we laughed. I said, "Aren't you glad we're not Catholics?" You know. I said, well, if we could be charismatic Catholics and we could do 50 thank you Jesuses or something, you know, of that nature. But we're not. You know, it's just one prayer and bam, you're right back where you were. Don't, you know, isn't it good? He doesn't go, you sinned. Get back to the starting line. He doesn't do that. It's right where you are, man. Boom, you're right there. Jesus did not cover up your sins. He took them. He took them. He took them. Thank you. He took them. Glory to God. And not only that, then he said, here's my stuff. After I got saved for a number of weeks, I walked around telling the Lord, I think you got the short end of the stick here, man. I'm telling you. All this junk that was in me, you know. And he just kept loving on me and loving me. And over time, I began to realize, ooh, wow, what an inheritance. I'm still learning. I wrote this in my notes. I want you to get this. Your saintliness does not produce your standing before God. Your standing before God produces your saintliness. You need to get that. I need to hear this. You can't pay God back for the gift that He's already given you. You can't do it. And then in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, guess what we get? Peace. Therefore it says what? We have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's this. You know what peace is? This is what peace is. That's peace. No matter what I have done, no matter what I may do. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6 says this, to the praise of His glory through His grace, which He has made us accept. I will always be accepted by Him. When you know about the breastplate of righteousness, you are always accepted by Him. Oh, no. I had the privilege this past, you know, Nancy was gone. I had, you know, it was just me and the dogs. Jason brought, I've been Ducky City. His dog's name is Ducky. Don't ask me why I called him Ducky, but and so it was just me and the dogs, and you know, it was my birthday this past weekend, and Nancy was gone, and I was sitting there thinking, you know, what do I need to do? And I knew about a ministry up in Lakeland, Georgia called Evans Memorial Camp, and it's for drug addicts and alcoholics, and I've been watching them and finally connected with a guy. And, you know, Friday nights pretty much is my date night when Nancy's in town. So, you know, unless you're dead, I'm not going to really do a whole lot of ministry stuff per se. And Nancy was gone. I thought, man, this is perfect. I'm going to, you know, I sent him a note and said, hey, I'm coming. He said, fine, come on. And I walked in there and it was like walking into heaven. And there was about 20 men. A good 25% of them were emaciated. Is that the word? Just skin and bones. I mean, what the sin of alcohol and drugs had done to them. They were just like, I mean, they literally looked like some of the pictures I saw in Venezuela. Just emaciated, and I, you know, I discerned in my mind they must have just recently came. And then there were, I don't know how long their program is, but then you could see the next little group, you know, and they're doing a little bit better. And then you could see these guys over here, man, they're filled out and they look good, you know, and so we get to worshiping God and the only thing I know how to compare it to for those of you who are old enough, in the late 60s, in the early 70s, you remember how crazy we were in worship? Yeah, you remember how, I mean, we were, and that's one of the reasons why they were always talking about, they dance. Them people dance, you know. And, of course, nowadays, you know, we're sophisticated, you know. Like, we progressed. I'd like to suggest, no, we've digressed. And I take it up there, and for 10 minutes, and of course, this is what people get mad in churches and leave over. For 10 minutes, all they sang was, the chains are broken, the chains are broken. It was like a mantra. The chains are broken, the chains are broken. And I entered in vicariously with them because I was sensing that this was more than just words. It was a motto of their life. The chains are broken. And suddenly, you know, they're getting up and they're actually running on the chair. And I'm going, I'm in the right place. And they get over there, off to the side where there's a bunch of room, and they get over there, all of them get over there except the ones that, what I deemed to be newcomers. They were just wasted away, and they were just, it almost looked like, I wanted to go over and say, sit down, son, dear God. Sit down. You're going to fall out, and it ain't going to be by the Spirit. You know. And they get over there. Let me tell you something. They danced. But you know how they danced? It wasn't a good old charismatic two-step. You know. You got to remember, these are crazy people that all they knew was the world and sticking, you know, stuff in their veins and smoking and drinking, all this. They started. Square dancing. And this went on for 10, 15 minutes. This went on for 10 or 15 minutes. And they're all saying, the chains are broken. The chains are broken. And you know, it was pure, unadulterated, declarative worship. Because they were experiencing justification. He took my chains and he's given me my life back. I went up to the leader and I said, whatever it takes, I want you guys in my church. He said, call me and we'll set a date up. You know what I want him here? Because I want him to come here and square dance. I want, you know, sometimes we just need to be reminded of the freedom from sin. These guys were happy. They were happy. They were leapfrog. You remember leapfrog? They were leapfrogging over each other. Just go. And I was doing my best to enter in with them vicariously. And it made me recall the freedom of my sins. And I was so happy to rejoice with them. It was raw, but it was real. And behind me, okay, get this. This is the most powerful thing, was the family members who had come to visit that night. And you know what they were doing? Every one of them. And it wasn't quiet. They were, they knew them. They had lived the hell. They had cleaned up the vomit. They had been in the hospital time and time again. Praying, oh dear God, save my daughter. Oh dear God, in this case, sons, because it was all men. Save my son. And they're looking at the answer. For the years of warfare. most powerful experiences that I've had since Cuba. Evans Memorial Camp. It's out in the sticks. I need to quit, but they had absolutely no fear. They didn't care. They didn't care what they looked like. They were kicking up there. Have y'all seen those little cute little things people send you about the little goats, and they're just jumping all over the place and jumping on everything under this and just having a good old... It reminded me of that, you know. These guys are just going after it, you know, worshiping God and going after it. You know, listen, let me close with this. When you have the reality of the righteousness of God, there's a certain level of freedom that nothing, no one can take away from you. No one can take it away. Now, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and unfortunately, the church, will try to put you in a mode and say, we don't do that anymore, and to which their response is, you don't know where I've come from. There's a level of freedom that comes to you when you understand that that righteousness has the DNA of God in it, and it becomes your righteousness. That's why Peter says, we participate in the divine. No pretense. No issues of acceptance. y'all forgive me. You know, in my relationship with my wife, I'm so comfortable around her, I'm crazy. I will sing to her. We'll be in the kitchen. We'll come up there. She'll be doing dishes. And I'll get on the cream, and I'll just start singing. And I make stuff up. And it's crazy, you know. And I'm just footloose. I'm singing to her, you know. And you know what she does? She goes, okay, dear. okay, dear, thank you. Yeah. I'm saying, y'all know what I'm talking about. Thank you, dear. But you know why I do that with her? I am totally at peace with her love. I am totally comfortable with her. And I can do all kind of crazy stuff. And she just looks at me and goes, yeah, that's my man. Yeah, yeah. When you know that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you know that that kind of acceptance is yours in His presence. And He looks and goes, that's my boy. That's my daughter. Let me give you some closing. I want to give you some closing statements, but I want to say this. If perfection warrants affection, then we will all fall short. If perfection warrants affection, then we'll never have it. It's been given to us. Number one, let me give you some closing applications. Get to know your inheritance. Get to know this righteousness that God has given to you as a gift. Number two, your someday becomes today. When you start wearing this righteousness, it's no longer in the future, I'm going to do something. In the future, I'm going to do something. In the future, I'm going to do something. It becomes today for you. And then number, I'm really cutting all this through. Number three, punishment for your sin and my sin has been conquered by the love, grace, and mercy of God. And then last of all, He gives you righteous, his righteousness. So put it on. Wear it. Because you're going to need it in life's frays and the stuff that comes your way. Stand with me real quick. Thank you for your attention. I know I've kind of waxed either long or eloquently. I'll let you choose which one. Next week, by God's grace, I'm going to talk about the practical side of this. So if you would love for you to come back. Just close your eyes real quick. And I want to ask you one little simple question. Are you trying to earn God's love and acceptance? Are you trying to measure up so that he'll bless you? Because if you are, I have a good word for you. Stop. Stop. It's a gift. He has qualified you to walk in his inheritance. Now, is there anything holding that back in your life? I don't know what it is. Like I told you last week, when I write these things, I get to repent first. Anything holding that back in your life? You don't have to perform for his love. He just loves you. He died for your sins. He has given you all of his righteousness. And the reason why you're getting beat up is because you have failed to put it on. Put it on. So that you can begin to walk in victory. Now, Father, you've heard every prayer this morning. Everything that's going on right now. I sense the Holy Ghost. Lord, you've touched something here today. This is a simple message. I'm sure we've heard it thousands of times before. But I think today you've touched something. And Lord, I just right now break off the lies of the enemy that says I have to perform to be a good little Christian. I break it off. And I pronounce grace and mercy to accept the gift that's been given. Sweet Jesus. Yes. Who? Glory to God. Let's just stay right here. I don't want to interrupt this moment. If you need to leave, just click, you can. But God's touching some folks right now. Jesus, just do a deep, deep work, Lord. Deep work, oh God. Do a deep work. Snatch out. I hear it. Rejection. I heard the word rejection. Snatch it out. Snatch it. Deliver each of us from that wretched stronghold. Mighty name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, and just wrap your loving arms around us today. Penetrate the recesses of our heart and our lives, deep into our souls. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Seal this word now. Seal it. I pray that in the coming week, that this week would be an intense week of discovery, the depths of your love and grace and mercy, and your acceptance. Show us, as Paul said, open the eyes of our heart, enlighten our eyes. And I pray it this way, so that we can see how much is in the bank account. How much of an inheritance you've given us. We love you. 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 Just tell him. Just tell him you love him. In your own way, whatever it is that you do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Complete the deliverance. There's deliverance happening right now. Complete the deliverance. Get every little bit of performing mentality, of rejection, which ultimately leads to rebellion. Get it, Lord. Get it. Get it. Take it out of our lives. Take it out of our mindset. In the mighty name. Can you say amen, church? Wasn't that sweet presence? Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. Thank you for coming, and thank you for your attention. Kind of went long there on you. I do apologize. Hug somebody before you get out of here today. Hug is good. She has a brand new mountain bike that she bought for her daughter, which her daughter doesn't evidently want. Too short for it. So she wants to, if you're in the market for a mountain bike, see her. It's almost brand new.